morning. I'm Kip, and I'm the preacher today. Wasn't born a preacher, grew into it. God called me to that. I grew up in the... Kevin asked me to say a few words about to introduce my family, so that's why we're doing it this way. I grew up in the Philadelphia area, south of Philadelphia. And was born into a Christian home. Went to a church at a very early age. I heard about Jesus. I made an early profession of faith in him. And in lots of outward ways, wanted to serve God, but also wanted to serve Kip. I didn't want to go to hell, but and I really didn't want to live for Jesus because it seemed kind of confining. But I knew myself pretty well, and by God's grace, he kept me on a short leash. I went to a Christian college that probably kept me out of a lot of trouble. But then I joined the U.S. Navy, and all of these things were, I was freed from all that kind of bondage. By the way, I was married by then. Went to Houghton College, where I met my wife, Judy. That's in Western New York State. And so we were married right before I went into the Navy. Was about 4 weeks from my wings, and the program I was in was slowed down permanently, they said. So we were in a pool waiting to see what would happen, personnel pool, and then I was selected to serve with the Naval Investigative Service, and so I did that for about 4.5 years. And during that time, our first daughter was born. And the Lord really impressed upon my life and my thinking my need for him. It was one thing to be living, you know, the way I wanted to, but then when I held that precious little girl in my arms, I started to think a little bit differently and think about some of the songs that I had learned when I was a child, like Jesus Loves Me and the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, and you know, I didn't really have anything to do with the Bible at that time. And my wife was patiently praying for me, and by God's grace, I had made contact with the pastor of one of my roommates in college, who was the founding pastor at Tabernacle Church in Norfolk. And so we began attending there, and then when I got out of the Navy, I ended up going to seminary in the Philadelphia area, and then we during that time, we had two more girls who were born to our family. Sarah's the second. She's here with us, and Jennifer. And so I finished seminary, and during this time, a strange thing had happened to me. I was Independent Baptist with emphasis on Baptist being Big B, and but during this time, I began hearing about the Westminster Confession of Faith, and it was—it seemed to be marvelously aligned with what I was learning and what I was concluding from my reading and study of the Bible. So of all things, I became Presbyterian in my last semester of seminary. So it took me a few couple of years, a few months, I guess, to get myself credentialed to come into the Presbyterian Church. And since that time, I've served churches in Columbus, Ohio, as a church planter. Went to Sydney, Australia, as a church planter. I've helped in churches in Delaware. I've pastored churches in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Tennessee, Georgia, New York State. So that was a long time. And the Lord has been very faithful to me all of these years. About 4 years ago, I went out for a bicycle ride on my day off, and I came back about 13 months later. And so my life was changed forever, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that in a minute. What I wanted to do as we gather together today was to consider my life experience and ask you a question. Can you really trust God? Or do you really trust in God? And I'm going to read for us Psalm 46, and we're going to think about those thoughts together. Let's pray first. Father in heaven, thank you for your great grace to us. We thank you that it is by grace that we are saved, and it's by grace that we even know you. And so we ask, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts to your word today as we read it and think about it, as we preach it, as we hear it. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the word of God. It deserves a careful and reverent hearing. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives ways, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So far, the reading of God's word. This psalm is often referred to in times of distress and tragedy. It's been a great source. It's been a great source of encouragement and strength in times of personal distress. Did the sound cut off? Okay. All right. A lot of times it's associated with Martin Luther. You probably may know the life of Luther and all the drama that he faced in his life. And whenever he was facing a hard time, he would grab hold of his colleague, Philip, and he said, "Come, Philip, let's sing the old 46. And they would come and sing this song together. You probably have sung the same words, only in English. A mighty fortress is our God. Well, Psalm 46 has been one of my favorite psalms for a long time. But in recent years, I've thought about it especially. Because after during that bicycle ride, as I was crossing a country road on my bicycle, I was training for a long ride. I heard a car behind me, and it kind of startled me. And so I went to the side of the road. The front wheel of the bicycle got onto the shoulder, which was soft, and the back wheels kept going about 20 miles an hour. So the front stopped suddenly. And I obviously went over the handlebars into a 5-foot ditch. And I was lay there, and I was like, I think I'm okay. I don't feel anything hurting. And then I couldn't move. And I was aware that I was temporarily paralyzed. And so a lady came along, answered the first prayer. Someone found me in that ditch, and a lady stopped. And then I asked her to help me. She called my wife and called the 911. And I convinced her finally. She was afraid to come down to the ditch and probably afraid of me and the whole circumstance. I got her to take my helmet off, and I was able to breathe. And pretty soon the ambulance came. My wife was there, and I was whisked off to the hospital. And my life was changed forever. Obviously, the paralysis has not been temporary. I am paralyzed from my shoulders down, can't move. a lot of things by God's grace and through technology I am able to do. It just takes me a long time, longer than you saw me coming up here onto the platform. Took me a little bit longer than everybody else, but praise the Lord, I'm able to do it. But while I was laying in that ditch, all kinds of thoughts came flooding into my mind. You know, how long am I going to be like this? Am I going to be able to get up and run and walk? Can I work? Can I love my wife? Can I love my family? Can I preach? And I didn't hear a voice. But within me, I knew that the Lord was with me. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I thought about these words. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And I knew that God was right there with me. And he confirmed that in my heart. And I believed it. And for the last 4 years, I've been learning to believe it more and more. And one thing that I've learned is that God is always there for his people, especially in times of trouble. God is always there for us, especially in trouble. The psalmist writes, God is our refuge. Literally, God is a stronghold or a shelter. Shelter is like a cave. It's a place to flee for safety when danger threatens. A refuge is a safe place. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we had that tornado that sprung up in the middle of the afternoon? Well, we had been inside for all week, and I got my grandchildren and Sarah and I went up to the local playground several blocks away, and it quit raining. It was very nice out. It wasn't really clear, but just overcast. And while we were on our way up there, it became darker and darker. When we got onto the playground, it became very dark and the wind was picking up, and then it started to rain. And then it started to rain harder, and the wind was blowing harder. And we saw across the street a fire station. By now, the wind was really blowing, and the rain was really coming. And the kids were frightened, and we had to make a move. And so we had to go out of the playground, around the fence, around down the sidewalk, across the road, and into that fire station. A refuge, a safe place in a time of storm. What our psalmist envisions here really are external threats. God is our refuge. He's a place of safety when there is danger from outside. God shields us. God protects us. God watches over us when we are attacked from the outside. God is our refuge. But more than that, God is our strength. The word translated strength carries with it the idea of prevailing, as in a war or a struggle. This word highlights the inner strength, not physical strength, a strength which is given to us. And it's the idea that God provides the emotional strength, the internal strength, that we need. The idea is closely related to stubbornness, being strong-minded. God gives us a resolve to stand strong in the midst of obstacles. He is our strength. God allows us, though, to be threatened internally, doesn't he? He allows us to be afflicted. He allows us to face difficulties. And from within, we have this turmoil and this dread of calamity. And the Lord comes to us and he says, I am your refuge and I am your strength, a very present help in times of trouble. God is with us in our troubles. He's always nearby. Often we're tempted to think that he's far away, that he's aloof. But no, God is near us. He is a very present help. From a New Testament perspective, Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us, and he has promised, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. After I was hospitalized for about a year, a very unusual thing occurred, which confirmed from an unlikely source the reality of this to me. There was a man named Ed McLaughlin. I hadn't met him. I'd heard all about him. He was the administrator of the unit in the hospital in the Bronx veterans hospital. You say all kinds of things when you're up front, you know. And I had heard about him. He'd been very kind to us. And so I met him, and I wanted to thank him for it. And he looked at me, and he said, you have a strong will to live. Well, he knew that I had faced all kinds of infections and difficulties and pneumonia and a whole series of things for several months. And he told me, he said, you have a strong will to live. And that's the kind of strength which comes only from the Lord. The Lord gives us that persistence to hang on, to press on. And as we press on, oftentimes the troubles persist. And God continues to be our help, continues to be our refuge and our strength. Even in the most difficult of circumstances. Verses 2 and 3 of this psalm describe a return of chaos to the earth. The earth gives way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. It seems like the work of God of creation is being reversed. And sometimes life is like that, isn't it? The very foundations of our worlds are shaken, and chaos seems to reign. And Jesus speaks to us and says, you don't have to be afraid. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Believer in Jesus, you don't have to be afraid, even in the most overwhelming of circumstances. God is with you. God is with you. It's one thing to hear that in your mind. It's another thing to live it out. So think about it for a minute. When you're in a difficult situation, when trouble threatens you, where do you run? Who is your refuge, or what is your refuge? Some people run to themselves. They're self-reliant. They trust themselves. I can handle this. Others look outside of themselves to find security. Some look to money or possessions. Others to their profession, to what they're doing in work. Others may turn to alcohol and or drugs. Many people turn to sex and other kinds of activities which are ungodly. not everyone turns to God. But believer in Jesus, know this. When trouble comes, look for your security in God. When trouble comes, you're not alone. God is there for you. He is close by to protect you and to strengthen you no matter what. God is with you in your troubles. Another observation I've made from this psalm, which is closely connected to it, is this, that God is always at work in and through your troubles. He's always at work in and through your troubles. It's a striking shift between verses 1 and 2 and then verses 3 and 4. The writer goes from strong encouragement and comfort, you know, the warm fuzzies for us. And then he begins this discussion about a city. But the focus remains on God and what he's doing. It centers on God and his work. God is building a city, he tells us. Verses 4 and 5. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Other places of Scripture identify this city as Zion. This is a common description in the Psalms to identify the city of God. Zion is a symbol used to refer to the people of God, Israel in the Old Testament, and the church in the New Testament. But notice the promises and the encouragements which are implied in these verses. God is with his people. God's people are secure. They shall not be moved. God will continue to help his people until a new day dawns. There's an inspired commentary on this kind of thinking in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And it explains these things to us using the experience of Abraham. Hebrews 11 draws lessons from Abraham's faith, and it suggests and teaches us that while he and Isaac and Jacob were living in tents in Canaan, they were actually seeking the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God, Hebrews 11:10. And this inspired interpretation informs us that the semi-nomadic sojourn of our spiritual forefather clearly demonstrates that Abraham's faith was rewarded far beyond what he expected. The city he inherited was not something in Canaan, but the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, according to Hebrews 12, 22 and 3. It's the capital of an unshakable kingdom, Hebrews 12, 28. And so while Abraham expected far less, he expected cities of Canaan, which were difficult to defend and very vulnerable to outside attack, he was rewarded by a far greater city. And likewise, Christian, we have a lasting city. We are looking for that city to come. We are looking to what God will do. And so here's a lesson for us today. God is working through our experiences. When trouble comes, God is at work, establishing his plan, perfecting his plan, and our lives are participating in that. Abraham thought he was just trying to survive. He thought he was just trying to seek after God the best he could. But the New Testament tells us that he was seeking a city, that God was accomplishing through him what he intended to do. And so when Ed McLaughlin said to me, "You have a strong will to live," I was able to testify to him to say that, you know, I have a higher purpose. I have a high calling. God is at work in me, and he's using me and all of his people to accomplish his purpose. And believers together, we can say, come and look at the works of the Lord. He brings desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Our God is causing all conflict to cease. In another psalm, Psalm 2, God mocks those who rebel against him and against his son. I will make the nations your inheritance, he promises him. The ends of the earth will be your possession. You will rule over them with an iron scepter. You will break them to pieces like pottery. He promises that. And then our psalm goes on and says, be still and know that I am God. Now, in this context, the speaker is addressing these pagan nations who are godless, who are standing up and thumbing their noses, or worse, at God. And he's saying, sit down and shut up. Know that I am God. I will be exalted. And we need to know that. But this is one of those verses which is also applied in different areas, and it works. It works because it encourages us to slow down and stop and to consider what we know about God. He will be exalted. He will be exalted in the earth. And the wonderful thing about it is, he will be exalted in our lives. And he is exalting himself in our lives. But we're stuck in this reality. We look forward to what God is going to do, but we're not there yet. In the meantime, we live in the trenches. And we try to honor the Lord. And we come to words in this psalm which encourage and strengthen us. And we're reminded again, God is our fortress. Another word, another concept, more than a shelter. He is our fortress. He is our place of defense. The allusion is to the fact that in the ancient world, safety was gained by either fleeing away or running to a place which one could find rest, which usually was a fortified height, which would be inaccessible to an enemy or to an animal that might be chasing a person. That's what the dictionary said. Okay. A stronghold, a place of safety and defense. Now, let's try to put some of this together. Our passage has been teaching us that when trouble comes, devastation threatens to overwhelm us, we don't need to fear because God is right there to protect us and to strengthen us. No matter what the circumstances you face, God will be there for you. No matter how threatening things might seem, God is there. He is your refuge. He is your strength. God is your shelter in the storm. God will protect you. God is your fortress. We're also learning that there's more to our troubles than it seems. There's one thing, there's more to our troubles than our own personal interests. You know, like when you go through these things, you think, it's all about me. But guess what? It's not. It's about what God is doing in and through you. God is working a wonderful plan. And he will accomplish it. And he's working through trouble and turmoil and threats. And he has a great plan to redeem a people for himself. And believers, we get to participate in that. So here's a test suggested by a man named John at the time of the Reformation. You can guess who he is. He said, it's my paraphrase, it's an easy matter to show great confidence so long as we are not placed in imminent danger. But if in the midst of a general crash of the whole world, our minds continue undisturbed and free of trouble, this is real proof that we attribute to the power of God the honor which belongs to him. So it's one thing to think that you have confidence. But then when the rubber meets the road, when reality crashes down on you, where is your confidence? Where do you run? I think you have to learn to trust the Lord more and more. It doesn't just happen. And the more you trust, the more you learn. He's never let anyone down. But most people are like me in the playground with my grandchildren. You know, there was a warning broadcast by the fire station, tornado warning. And I'm thinking, oh, it'll blow over. It'll be for somebody else. Finally, when the wind picks up strong enough and I get wet enough and the rain is strong enough, then I moved to shelter. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Place your confidence in the Lord. Learn to trust him. Trust him in the small things. Trust him in the big things. Because you know what? He is reliable. He's reliable. It's hard for us to trust things. Yesterday, I trusted a GPS to get me to a presbytery meeting. My poor wife was so frustrated. We were going all over the interstates around Norfolk trying to find the right road. Recalculating. You know. God isn't like that. Consider some of the descriptions of the Lord as we close in this passage. First, he is the Lord of hosts, Lord Sabaoth. He is the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is stronger than any foe. He is Yahweh, the one who has all existence in and of himself, all being in him, all power, all might, all love. He is Almighty God, and he is for us. He is the God of Jacob. I love this. You know, Jacob was the least of all the patriarchs, and he was the least deserving of all. He was a schemer, a deceiver, a cheat, a snake in the grass. It took him a whole lifetime to learn to trust in God. And the God of Abraham is also the God of Jacob. And he is our God. And he delights to show favor to the undeserving. This is our God. Our God. Our means mine personally, but not exclusively. He's your God too. Your God. But you must come to him through faith in Jesus Christ if he is to be your God. He promises to be your refuge and your strength, to always be there for you in times of trouble. But he calls you to himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he says, I will be your refuge throughout the storms of life. They will surely come. And the greatest storm of all will be the final judgment. And he calls us to come to Jesus now for that refuge and for forgiveness while there's still time. So he invites you to come. He commands you to come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And the thing about coming to him is that we come to him not merely for forgiveness of our sins, although that is stupendous, but more than that, he calls us into a lifetime of growing to know him better and to trust him more and to find out just what it means that he is our refuge and our strength. And believer, when the violent thunderstorms of life threaten, run to him. The Lord of hosts is your God. Run to him for refuge and for safety. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, our God, we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength. We thank you that you are that ever-present help in time of trouble. Lord, you are always found by those who earnestly seek you. And as much as it seems as a no-brainer that we would seek you, we are stubborn and don't trust you as we ought. And so I pray that you would continue that good work in us, causing us to rely and rest in you more and more as we come to know you. So open our minds and our hearts to your truth. Give us renewed and willing spirits and desires to obey you. Draw us close to you, strengthen us, enable us to be an encouragement and a strength to one another. We pray, O Lord, if there is someone here today who is not trusting in you as their refuge from divine wrath, that they would find that refuge today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.